Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life. Today, we talk about, well, what we've been up to for the last 2 weeks, how to survive the winter training as the nights get a little bit colder. We cover great podcasts. The last couple of months, we've discovered some new ones. We talk about our voices, and the London series continues with a look at London buildings. Ooh, and then we have an on the run, well, an on the walk. So hi, Harry.
Hi, Missy. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. What have you been up to in the last fortnight?
Well, we've had bonfire night, so I spent a rather lovely weekend in the very picturesque Dorset. We built a massive bonfire, which of course all of the boys got really excited about and tried to make as big as possible. And I just really enjoyed being curled up on a sofa watching the fire with a nice big glass of red wine. And that was pretty dreamy. But before that, I was having to present at a conference, which was a bit scary. I don't think I've ever been like a formal presenter before. They gave me a badge and everything. But it was okay.
How many people was it in front of?
Like, I don't know, about 60, I reckon.
Oh, okay.
Felt quite proper.
Yeah.
I did have my slideshow, you know, all the presentations. Got more familiar with doing a PowerPoint again. But it was fine. And I don't know, training-wise, I'm struggling a bit. I think that feeling of coming back after marathon, I keep thinking, like, oh, I should be able to run. I've run a marathon recently. Like, this shouldn't be hard. And even 4 miles is a bit of a struggle. Like, it's just mentally challenging, I think. But I didn't enjoy my run this morning, but I really enjoyed cycling here. So I think it's going to be about exploring other options at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What about you? What are you doing?
In a dramatic change of usual events, I've actually been doing some running.
Oh.
So that's fun. I'm actually quite enjoying it at the moment. I think doing this race detox has been quite a good idea. So not loads, probably only like 2 or 3 times a week, but actually wanting to go running, which is a change.
Yay.
So I've been running with my usual Run Dem Crew group on a Tuesday evening. So before, I've done 3 or 4 weeks in a row now, but before that I hadn't run with them for about 7 weeks.
Wow.
So that's quite nice. And I've done a few runs with my friend and housemate, Gosha, who's just signed up for Barcelona Marathon. So we've been doing some runs from our house as well, which is really nice. So that's nice that I'm enjoying that again. And life-wise, I've been reading loads and loads and loads about minimalism and tidying and things recently again. So I've just finished this morning a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying, which was recommended to me by Kira on Twitter.
Hi, Kira.
Hi, Kira. And I bought a copy for my mum as well because her house is a little bit untidy. Sorry, mum. And, yeah, it's really good. I'm going to, hopefully, one evening this week, kind of put it into practice.
So, what kind of things do they advise?
So she advises that you do one big tidy all at once, so you see the massive, like, you see the immediate impact of it rather than a little bit every day, and that you kind of do every category in one, instead of doing it room by room, you do it by category. So for example, you'd go around your house, you'd start with clothes and get all of your clothes from every drawer, every room, put them and then go through them. And then you do the same with books. You get all your books, even if they're in different rooms, you get them so you can kind of see your whole collection in front of you.
Wow.
So I'm quite excited about doing that.
Quite tiring, though. Like, yeah. I think you might need a whole day as opposed to just an evening.
Yeah, maybe.
It takes me like a day to do my clothes.
I'm quite slimline in my possessions already. So I'm kind of hoping you're that very it good will be quite quick, but I'm also anticipating that it will actually take longer than I imagined. So maybe I'll save that till next weekend. What else?
Ooh, we've been doing some good breakfasts.
Yeah, I've been going for a lot, utilising the time before work quite a lot recently, but not for workouts, which I'm quite enjoying because I've really struggled to exercise in the morning. So yeah, I think our favourite one was when we went to Dishoom.
Oh, yeah.
I had never been to Dishoom before, which according to a lot of people is a bit...
I can't believe
it's taken so long. So, yeah, had the bacon and egg naan, which was pretty dreamy.
I now just want to have naan for breakfast all of the time.
It was a really, really good naan bread as well.
Yeah, they're just, very good.
Oh, so good. And the chili jam was amazing. And
they do very good. They do very nice chai as well. Next time I have a chai.
I've never had a chai.
In your whole life?
In my whole life.
I think they're a good one to start with. I never had chai before I went there.
Chai tea?
Yeah, it's like milky. So I think they define it as chai tea.
I don't get the concept of having a tea bag in lots of milk.
No tea bag, just lots of like spices and stuff. Doesn't have actual tea in it.
Okay, fine. I'll try it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's different from like when you get them in like Starbucks where they're really sweet.
Okay, I'll give it
and
a
go. And that does just seem like really milky tea.
Talking of spicy, I almost bought yesterday the world's most expensive hot chocolate in Waitrose. It was hot chocolate with winter spice in it, and it was like with a gold glitter finish. And I was like, oh, this is so exciting. And then I saw it was £3.70
for a tub of hot chocolate powder,
but still it was like a pound for Cadbury's drinking chocolate. So I was like, gonna go with that one.
Stick on that one, this one.
Yeah, obsessed with hot chocolates at the moment. Oh, it's getting quite cold.
Mine's about the winter spice mix. That's what we were talking about yesterday, about whether you could make what you could do with your porridge. I like the sound of winter spice mix in porridge. Maybe I'll just buy some mulled wine mix and stick it in things.
Yeah, stick it in porridge.
Make everything feel wintry.
So yeah, it has suddenly felt quite wintry in the last few days because I've spent kind of a fortnight saying how mild it was.
All of a sudden.
And now it's quite cold. And we're actually sat in a building now where we can hear the wind like whistling around outside. And it's, what is it? 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's getting pretty grim and dark, so we thought it would be a good time to talk about winter training and kind of how to survive it. So a few months ago we actually did the opposite of this and we were sitting here going, it's so hot, how do you go for a run when it's so hot? But now times have changed. It's really cold.
I love how there's always something to complain about when you're running. And I'm definitely the first of those people to moan about it one way or the other. I think layers are my advice.
Yes, definitely. Lots of layers and kind of ones that you can put somewhere else on your body if you're going to take them off.
Yes.
Like ones that aren't annoying to run with tied around your waist or that aren't going to fall off. Because I've done that before when I've run along with a jacket around my waist and then it's untied and like kind of come around my ankles and it's all like, it's nearly fallen over.
That's an accident waiting to happen.
You need ones that are going to stay attached to you.
Yeah, I'd say invest in, and I do actually still need to do this, but like a raincoat jacket, like a thin MAC type thing, because I have one, but it's not got any sleeves, and it's a bit crap when it's raining. Yeah. So something that will keep you dry, but actually one that is a bit more designed for running would be useful, because they can be pretty light then and easy to carry around.
I think you'll always end up getting hotter than you think you will, so...
Mm.
I always end up probably in a t-shirt even if it's really cold, so maybe only like one layer is required on top of a t-shirt or a vest. The most important thing I think is extremities, so they stay cold, like a neck bath, ears, something to keep your ears warm.
A neck what?
Buff.
Oh, a buff.
Yeah.
Is that what you call them?
Yeah. That's the official brand name.
Oh.
I think other alternatives are available.
I think I just call it a neck warmer.
Gloves as well, but I always end up taking gloves off, so ones that again you can stick somewhere.
Yeah, gloves don't last. Ooh,
on that point, leggings with pockets in. Like
multiple pockets.
The Lululemon ones that we both own.
Yes.
I can't remember what they're called. I think they're called Speed Tight. Are the best pair of leggings I've ever owned.
I love those side pockets they have.
Yeah, they've got side pockets, they've got back pocket, they've got little pockets in the waistband for like keys and Oyster. You can fit so much in them. Obviously, they're quite expensive, but I genuinely think they're worth the money.
Yeah, I agree, actually. And having fallen over in those the other day, they did not tear. There's not even a mark where I fell over. So I'm very impressed that they held out, given that I hit the concrete pretty hard. It was only because there was an uneven pavement, and I probably was getting a bit tired for getting to pick up my feet. It was mostly
I do that quite a lot. Just shuffle and then kind of like,
I do that when I'm walking, so it wasn't too much
I do that a lot whilst I'm walking, actually. I fall over more whilst I'm walking than when I'm running.
That's the first time I've ever fallen over running. It's a bit of a shock.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that the other day. You know, when you're walking along and then you trip and then you kind of have to style it out and kind of pretend that no one saw you.
Yeah. I tried to just get up and pretend I was fine. I think that's kind of the main things for clothing. Like reflective-y stuff. I would say, I don't know, I noticed running even around the river here that it can be quite dark and pedestrians can't see me, let alone cars.
Yes.
So it's worth thinking about if you've got some bright stuff you can wear.
Surprising amount of people don't see you whilst you're running, even if you're not particularly fast, I find. People just don't really look. Yeah, so evenings, light yourself up like a Christmas tree. You might feel a bit stupid, but it's dark. So especially if you've got lights on, it's kind of going to shield your face anyway, because they'll just be shining so bright, no one will see what you look like.
I mean, yeah, we're at an advantage, I suppose. It's easy to forget when you live in a city, because there's street lights everywhere, or in lots of places. But it definitely helps to have some reflective gear on, at least. I have a few like light up armbands, which I should dig out as well.
Also, obvious thing, but don't go running somewhere where there's no people, where it's dark. Like, don't go running through the park.
Don't run through the park.
Along the, probably like some parts of the river.
Canal,
yeah, canal.
The canal
dodgy.
Would scare me. No way out.
Just be sensible. But
and run with a friend. Like, I think if you can find someone who you like running with, every now and again.
I'd say don't let it being dark put you off, though, because like that's why I really love running in the dark, is because it reminds me when I first started running. So I started when it was dark, or really got into it then, and I kind of liked that no one could see. Like, it was kind of like under the cover of darkness.
I love that you have this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of be seen, but not be seen, because I was obviously had like a reflective jacket on, but it's still kind of, you do it when there's less people around when it's dark. And then weekends are obviously better because it's light, and then you've got all day to like treat yourself with a hot chocolate at the end. I feel like hot chocolate might be a theme.
Hot drink, nice hot drinks you can reward yourself with. Yeah, definitely. And particularly when the weather's really horrible and bleak, it's like going out, getting it done, and then we have to like go back home and curl up underneath a blanket and feel really smug because you did
smugness. And I definitely think you get more smug points for running when it's cold.
This is true. I do not know how you've done marathon training in the winter.
I don't know how you've done it in the summer.
We're so the polar opposites with the seasonal thing.
I'd rather be cold and then get in the shower than feel dehydrated and sick for the rest of the day after running in the sun.
Yeah, I did. That is hard.
So it's been a few months since we've spoken about other podcasts. So we thought it would be a good time to recap some other ones that we've been listening to, because I've actually discovered a few new ones recently after kind of going for a couple of months where I was just listening to the same ones over and over again.
Which is basically what I've been doing.
Yeah, I did a bit of research the other night and tried to find some new ones, and actually found a couple of good articles where it recommended some new ones. Mm-hmm. So I'll just do a quick little rundown. The first one I found was, well, actually, I didn't find this one. Steph told me about it. It was called Gastropod, which is actually a British one.
Okay.
Two women talking about food and kind of like the science and history of food.
Ooh.
And the one she recommended to me was about alcohol culture and the difference between alcohol culture in the US and the UK, because of my no drinking stint I'm on at the moment. So that was really interesting. It kind of did, yeah, it was kind of the embarrassing British culture of just getting really drunk all the time.
Did it just prove the point?
Yeah, and it was a lot about the science of what happens to your body when you drink that much. And there was someone on talking about a new drug that they're trying to like trial that means you don't get hangover. So it's like all the good aspects of drinking, like the social side of it, without the poor like health
things.
And it's
that you would still drink as you do normally and you take something.
I think so, yeah.
That makes you feel better.
That kind of makes it not have all the damage to your body, which sounds like a little bit too good to be true.
Yeah, I would think so.
But that's quite an interesting one if you like food. Another one, which will be quite big on its own, is Women of the Hour, which is Lena Dunham's podcast. It's only a mini series. So yeah, it's got famous people on it, obviously. Like Emma Stone's her agony aunt on it.
Really?
The first one was about friendships. The second one's about bodies and it like loads of different things, like hair, like being in your own body. It's just kind of like what you'd expect from her, really, kind of like her book in podcast form, I think.
Okay. Is it her musings on it?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's more like talking to other people.
Huge fan of hers. I could be convinced.
Yeah, I think she does more talking to other people than just kind of monologuing, so but I think that's what's okay about it.
Cool.
Yeah, I have a bit of an issue with the name. Like, it's a bit too close to Woman's Hour, but yeah, it's quite good. And the best one I found recently is called The Broad Experience, which is a UK podcast about women and work. So it's just one woman who kind of hosts it, talks to various different people, and they have she does loads of different topics about like having female bosses, like introverts at work, having babies, like having a period at work, like just, it's just so good. And
who is she? What's her like?
I don't actually know, but yeah. She's British. She's been doing it for a while, so there's like 72 episodes. So
72?
Yeah. I don't know, I haven't found it before, so there's an absolutely massive back catalogue that I need to go back and find stuff through. But I've listened to 3 or 4 of hers in the last week, and that was really good.
Yeah, this sounds very cool. I've Googled it. Well, an iTunes review, it says, a thoughtful, humane, and accessible analysis of the unique challenges facing women in the workplace. Sounds good. Huh. And quite relevant to what we've been talking about at the moment, generally.
Yeah.
So quite relevant, like women in the workplace. We were talking that thing of me having to do that presentation. I was so nervous of almost just how I communicated and really aware of what I was saying and how I was saying it. And it's coming up a lot, it seems to. There was that whole Radio Lab where they talked about vocal fry, which I haven't heard of. And it's interesting how much you don't notice. For some people, you don't notice the way they speak as opposed to others. And maybe in the UK we have different issues, but I thought it was quite an interesting argument. And the way when you're presenting to someone and getting up in front of people, how much I actually felt really aware of what I said. Not what I said, how I said
how
it.
How you said it.
And how, almost like I'm the kind of person who needs to write down every single word I'm going to say. And of course that doesn't come across very well when you're stood up in front of a load of people with your PowerPoint presentation.
So I had to present at work a couple of weeks ago as well, but thankfully I was kind of co-hosting with a couple of other people and I only had 2 slides to do. So it was literally kind of 2 minutes I had to speak. And I wrote down exactly what I wanted to say, which obviously didn't work either. It was definitely one of those moments where I have no idea what I said.
No.
And hopefully it was relevant to what I was supposed to say, but I definitely wouldn't have said exactly how I wanted to say it. And I think I'm very conscious of the way that I say things, especially because my workplace is a lot of older people as well. So I'm always really conscious that I sound a lot more casual than everyone else. Ah. And that I may be not using, it sounds really stupid, but maybe not using so many like big words or like explaining things in such, maybe it's just an archaic way, whereas I'd explain things a lot more casually.
Yeah.
I think that's more of, it's like a generational thing.
I'm very quick to jump to abbreviations and shortcuts and not be as complicated or complex in my sentence structure and my use of vocabulary. And I think that's just grown out of a bit of laziness as well for me. I'm lazy with how I speak.
Yeah. I think that was vocal fry then. So I've listened to a lot of podcasts about this recently and read a lot of articles. Mm-hmm. So I think it is more of an American problem. So vocal fry is kind of like the Kardashian thing where they're like, oh my god, that was amazing, and it kind of goes all crackly.
Yeah,
that was such a bad impression.
So you kind of just go
yeah, like that. So I don't think it's such a British problem.
No,
because we don't tend to talk like that anyway.
Draw.
I don't know, but then when I said anyway, then it was kind of a bit croaky.
Oh, but there is things like using like and using
I definitely have a habit of saying a lot. Yeah, so I say all the time, and see, I do it then. I even know what they look like on the recording now, on the word See, that's probably
that's because you've become obsessed with it.
So we're going to do a little experiment this episode. I usually edit out all our ums. I leave in like natural pauses and kind of thinking time, but if we say I tend to edit it out where we can. But I think it's just the British version of like, so I listen to a lot of American podcasts as well, and they say like all the time. All the time. And I don't think they edit out things as much as I feel like I need to.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess that's the point I'm kind of making, is that do we really need to be worried about the way that we speak as so much as we do? Because there was a bit of upspeak there as well, which is where you go up at the end of your sentence and ask it like a question.
Well, there is a point for how people perceive you and whether you're therefore then taken seriously. Thinking about that, women in the workplace. Women have more of a tendency to use and like in their language, and to be perhaps more, maybe this is a really broad joke, but this is this huge sweeping generalisation, but to be a lot more casual and a lot more colloquial, and perhaps when you're amongst colleagues who we also see as friends, you're much more relaxed in the language you use. Now I'm really aware of everything I say.
Every time we just like pause and laugh now.
But when you're in a team meeting, when you're discussing things with your boss, should your language and manner be different? And should that be being reflected in how you speak as much? And yes, and are you being taken? I hate this idea that you could be being taken less seriously because of the way you speak.
Yeah, I do as well. But then I kind of always feel like I want to be the person that's being real at work. So I would say more than a lot of people I work with bring my real personality to work, and my team see that quite a lot. And I kind of want to be like that. I want to be able to get on and get ahead and like be successful whilst kind of being a real person at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to change my personality or act in a way that I wouldn't find natural just because that's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah, I think you can still be professional and be a person at the same time and combine the two, and if used in the right context.
There's also that episode on Call Your Girlfriend where they talk about this too, because in a similar way to how we are, our podcast is all about us having a chat and a general conversation, and we want it to feel as natural and like us just sitting having a cup of tea, and you guys are just hopefully having a cup of tea with us, or maybe running.
Yeah, probably running. But yeah, I don't think we're ever going to get to the point where we're kind of like sat reading a script of...
No. We're never going to have radio voices. This is my radio voice.
This is definitely my... Yeah. Do we sound different to episode one? I don't think we probably do.
No.
No.
Okay, so following on from our last podcast and how we introduced Loving London... Did we call it that in the end?
The London series.
The London series, because obviously we live in London. We have moved on from views to discuss buildings. And it's the thing of, you think you know the London skyline really well, and I can think off the top of my head what my favourite building is, and I have since struggled for the last 10 minutes to think of what my favourite building is. Maybe it's just because they're so much part of the like tapestry and fabric of London, and I walk over the river nearly every day, so I kind of just take it in now as like a blind "This is London" kind of image. But Lizzie, why don't you tell us what your favourite London building is and why?
Mine is really obvious because I go on about it all the time, and it's the Barbican. So we've recorded a few episodes from the Barbican before, and I spend quite a lot of time there, just kind of chilling, hanging out. And I think it's just such an interesting building and an interesting place, because I don't know. I just really like the kind of severe,
you like looming, a bit of brutalist architecture,
I do,
don't
love
you?
A bit of brutalist architecture and concrete, and it's all of the amazing things that I like. It's just so interesting, the whole history of it and the diversity of the different building, like all the different buildings there that make up the Barbican Estate. Yeah, I just really love it.
Cool. Can I have two?
Yes.
Okay. I think my first one is the Natural History Museum, because...
Oh, that's made me think of another one. Okay, sorry.
Okay, you can have two.
Yeah, we
can
have
one and part one, part two. Well, this one is Bookends when... It's more like a building that holds lots of nice memories for me, and that's probably why. But I have a really vivid... The first time I came to London, I was probably only 7 or 8, and my parents took me to the Natural History Museum, and I remember climbing the steps and thinking they were really big, and the building was really tall and huge, and I felt overwhelmed by everything that was inside, and it has such, like, lovely thoughts for me every time I go there. So that's why I love it. And I think now, because I live here, the places I like are places where I can go and sit, and it's quiet, and I can explore. And I have a real thing for libraries a lot. So places like the British Library, obviously.
I've never been in the British Library.
Oh, my God, let's go. We probably can't record in there. They won't let us.
No.
That won't be quiet enough.
Go and read.
But reading rooms in general. So the V&A Library is really nice. The Poetry Library in the South Bank Centre. Like places like that where I kind of have a thing for being surrounded by books, but I can just sit and either read or sit really quietly is one of my favourite things to do, which actually I haven't done in a while.
Completely unrelated and going slightly on a tangent, but I've had a Kindle for like 3 years, and for some reason recently I've been obsessed with buying actual books. Like, I really can't get on with reading books on my Kindle, and I just feel like I want to go to a bookshop all the time.
Interesting. You must have like had like a
I don't know what U-turn. Yeah, which kind of doesn't go sit well with the whole minimalism having not many possessions thing, but
you can buy books and give them to me if you want.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I don't have to necessarily keep them once I've read them. I can
once
do something else with them.
I was at a bus stop, and there was someone had left a book there
with
a note on it.
That's what I was thinking I might do. I might read them and then leave them on the tube with a note on them or something. So,
and you can't do that with a Kindle.
No, you can't. So, yeah, my second place, St Pancras Station.
Oh, good one.
In
its new version.
A new version, yeah. I think kind of similar. It holds quite a lot of good memories. So I would come in and out of there like once a week, once a fortnight when I was... long distance relationship being from Nottingham, and it's just it's kind of everything about London. You kind of arrive in like a like glamorous big station and you're like, wow, I'm in London, there's all these like nice shops and it's all bustling and you can it's just
I think it's got that the Eurostar entrance there as well,
yeah,
hasn't it?
It just feels like the glamour of traveling and the excitement of arriving in London.
There's lots of potential, isn't it? It feels like that.
So this time, instead of an on the run, I did something a bit different and did an on the walk. So I think the best thing to do is to play it and then have a chat about it afterwards.
So today, instead of doing an on the run, I wanted to do an on the walk. I don't think that works quite as well. But I just wanted to talk about walking in general because I've always been a big fan of walking. Especially over the last kind of 2 years, and I read a really interesting article on The Pool last week. So The Pool is a fantastic women's magazine website founded by Lauren Laverne and a few other amazing journalist women, and yeah, this article was about the joy of the mundane walk, and I totally get it. So I either walk or cycle or tube into work, and often I'll walk home from work because I've got nothing better to do than kind of go for a really leisurely stroll, and that's exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm currently walking underneath Blackfriars Bridge, and I'm just going to walk all the way along the river out east to Tower Bridge near where I live, and it's definitely a longer way of walking. I could easily walk through the city a lot quicker, but it's just so nice sometimes when you've got nothing else to do to just walk and take it all in. So right now in front of me I can see Millennium Bridge, I can see dark shadows of people walking over Millennium Bridge, I can see a train pulling into I think Cannon Street or similar. I can see right ahead of all of that the lights of Tower Bridge, and just to the right of all of that is the Shard. And obviously this is amazing because it's, I've just said all those London landmarks like laid out in front of me. I couldn't really have a better walk home if I wished for one. But even just generally walking around the city, It's not along the river. It is always really great, and I find it really clears the head. So obviously we've spoken before probably about how running is really good for clearing the mind, but I found when I'm really upset or really struggling to deal with something, walking is so much better. I just can't face the physical challenge of going for a run. It takes quite a lot of strength to go for a run. You have to have quite a lot of energy. And especially when I've just come out of a relationship, this is when I first really discovered love of running 2 years ago, when my really long-term relationship ended suddenly and I was just walking everywhere. I'd walk on my lunch break, I'd walk after work, I'd walk to work, I'd walk on the weekend for absolutely no reason whatsoever. I'd just walk and walk and walk and walk. And it helped so much just to be outside, to be able to clear my thoughts. And that's kind of why I'm doing it now. So it's a Friday evening. It's just really lovely to, especially when it's not raining, which it's not now. It's a really cool, clear evening. There's lots of runners and you might be able to hear them going past me. Just saw a grown-up on a scooter, which is a bit odd. And there's just lots of other people around, but it's also really peaceful at the same time. So I can hear the water lapping down beside me. I can hear traffic. I can hear some music coming from somewhere. It's bustling yet serene at the same time, and I don't think you get that from running. You don't have the stillness to be able to appreciate that, because you've got your breath, you've got the thoughts of it being painful, you've got the sound of your feet. And because walking isn't painful or as strenuous or as mentally or physically challenging, but I think that's where the serenity can come from sometimes. So I just thought I'd share my walk. If you have any other lovely walks you like doing, either in London or otherwise, do let us know and I might try them out.
So yeah, that was my walk home from work the other night, and I just wanted to play it because I think walking's awesome. I really like running, but walking is also great.
It's underrepresented.
Yeah, I don't think necessarily as a means of exercise particularly, but just I think it's a really important activity to just kind of get some headspace.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So actually I referenced the pool article in there, but I also read something else on Emerald Street, which I'll link to you this morning, which said about how important it was to spend time on your own and how it helps creativity.
Mm.
And how the best thing to do is have a completely separate space in your house or that you go to that you are completely alone with your thoughts. But obviously, especially in London, that's not I don't have a spare room that I can go sit in.
Of course,
I think most people do. So walking is a really good way to get that kind of alone time and time to have some thinking time. I think it's a really good time to catch up with podcasts or just listen to nothing. It's just nice.
Yeah, I think the whole idea of being able to just stare into space a bit and let your brain kind of clear through a few thoughts. I like to walk and not be listening to anything. We were just talking about how I used to walk to work every day. I lived 3 miles from where I worked at the time, so it was a good hour's walk. But it was so nice because I felt so awake by the time I got to work, and I felt really ordered. Like even if I wasn't intending to think about work or about the kind of life admin I needed to do, the walk was a good way of sort of collating my thoughts and clearing my head before the start. And I really miss that now. And probably that's why I find quite a lot of affinity now with running, because that's been a bit of a replacement and a chance to do that. But running, you can be more conscious about thinking about your pace or, your training.
Yeah.
So what's nice about walking is you don't have any of those constraints.
And it's the same with cycling. You do get some headspace, but also you're paying quite a lot of attention to,
The road
and not falling off,
yeah,
etc.
For me, cycling's still a little bit too much. I'm too, focused,
yeah,
on not
I'm
falling
also
off.
Quite conscious of, because I cycle the same way every day, I'm quite aware that I do zone out sometimes, and that's quite dangerous in itself because you kind of go onto that kind of autopilot thing where you know all the junctions. So I'm quite conscious not to do that because that's dangerous in itself. So every so often I will just walk to work instead of cycling, just because might just fancy
yeah,
a bit of change.
Particularly if like the weather's really crisp and like it's wintry but it's not freezing.
It's really nice as well, like I did on Friday, to do it at the end of the day because you're not in a rush. Mm. So I think I took over an hour to walk home just because I wasn't going at any like brisk pace. I didn't need to get anywhere, so it's just nice to walk along and wander.
It's very freeing. Yeah, even getting out on your lunch break. Quick 10 minutes.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot when I first started, deliberately. And I need to get back in the habit of that. Not even necessarily because I needed to go out, because I buy my lunch in the building, so I've got no reason to. But just, even if it's like 10 minutes up the road and back, makes a massive difference.
Mm.
So yes, go out and walk.
Fresh air.
Yeah, it's good.
We sound like mums.
Yeah, we do.
We're so old. When I was younger, my mum would be like, get outside and just go run around the garden.
But, yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Put a nice scarf on and go for a walk.
Maybe get a hot chocolate on the way.
Oh, definitely.
That's definitely what you would do.
Yeah. You see my eyes light up then.
Yeah.
Hot chocolate.
Maybe we should get hot chocolate now.
Mm. Okay, so we're going to go for hot chocolate now.
I think we are.
So we'll leave it there. You can find us on the internet as usual. Our website is oftrpodcast.wordpress.com. You can stream us there, and also we put up all of the stuff we've been talking about. So if we reference anything, you can probably find it there. We're on iTunes, and we're on Twitter at oftrpodcast. And if you want to email us about anything, we're at oftrpodcast@gmail.com.
See you later.
Yeah, see you in a few weeks.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.